Just want to say thank you so much for welcoming me and my wife Abby here today, and thank you so much for the support that you have given to Hope Now over so many years. You know, it really means a lot. I often think of Anne, because her packages come through the post nearly every week, and the white van pulls up, and I said, I wonder if that's from Anne. So thank you so much for that practical support. So Hope Now is, move on. Hope Now's 40 years old, and these are just a few photos from our 40th anniversary celebrations at our church, the same church as Vic Jacobson there, the founder we go to in Southampton. So Vic started up by telling us the story about Hope Now, and it's amazing what God has done over so many years, not just through Vic, but also then through John, and we pray that God continues to work. So I was encouraged. Our church was disorganized that weekend, and all the music leaders, etc., were away at a conference, but our Ukrainian church stepped up, and so many people said, oh, it was so lovely to see your Ukrainian church involved. And actually, the day itself was what I would have prayed for. It was a mixture of British supporters and lots of Ukrainians came as well, not all of whom were Christians, as I'll show you a few photos. So Jenny there on the left there was one of our trustees, and she's got to know a Ukrainian lady. So she brought this lady, Lana, along with her, and she said, oh, it was such wonderful to see, not just be able to hear Ukrainians speak and sing, but actually to hear that God is doing things in Ukraine. And that's Ksenia. Some of you will recognize her if you've seen Zosilenka, and she used to go around with them, but also she used to head up our ministry at Compass Park, and she spoke about that, and that's really a key part of what's going on. If you've got the newsletter, if you haven't got one and you need a spare copy, do read middle pages of the newsletter this month, because there's some really encouraging stories about what God is doing through Compass Park in Ukraine. And then we also had Ukrainian community involved. So the lady on the right, her name is Helena. I'll talk a little bit more about her in a minute. And the lady on the left is Anna. Anna was a professional dancer in Mariupol at the theatre that was destroyed. And a lot of people, these are both from our Winchester Ukrainian group, a lot of people in Winchester are from there. So, you know, they've gone through a very traumatic time. And then we also had children from our Southampton Ukrainian Children's Choir who came and sang to us as well. And then here are the ladies from the Winchester group who sang to us. And the ladies who came and danced to us. And some of those dances are very much like the dances we used to have from the Zosilenka group, the group of young people who used to come across. And there we are, that's just a group of us. So some of you may recognise Misha on the left and his wife Lena. And then on the right-hand side, that's Vasya, who's our Ukrainian church, Southampton Ukrainian church pastor, and his wife Yulia, who works with me. So we always used to joke about the Ukrainianization of the work in Ukraine. Well, actually, I think it's come back to me, because actually it's coming my way, because I get so much more of a focus on what's going on in Ukraine. So I often get asked the question about, what do I think is going to happen in Ukraine? What hope is there for Ukraine? We're going to be thinking a bit in the Bible passage a bit later about what hope really is. But I want to start by saying that, you know, this book that we have is primarily not just a book about faith, but it's a book about hope as well. Because even right at the very start, where Adam and Eve failed, God shows that there is hope. And that goes all the way through the Bible. So when we hear people hear the word of God, not only do they find faith, but they also see that there is a hope, and there is a certain hope for the future. You know, even in that book of Leviticus that some of us find us very difficult to go through. But all of those feasts and those festivals actually point forward to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So just as faith comes by hearing the word of God, so hope grows when we focus through the word on who God is and what he's like. So the written word of God points us supremely, of course, towards the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But what about now? Hope is something that we need right now. I've got on there Paradise Lost. Some of you may know of the poem from the 17th century poet John Milton. You know, paradise is lost, but paradise really will be regained when heaven comes back to us. So what about now? Hope is something that we need right now. Just keep an eye on the time, so I better not go too long. So I asked Vic, our founder, why hope now? And he told me the story about where the name came from. It was in the 1980s in South Africa, and as you appreciate, it was a time of great trouble, not just through apartheid, but the townships, the black townships. There was great trouble, there was rioting and there was arson and all sorts of things. And they were going to do a mission in one of these townships. And they were talking about, well, what are we going to call this? And one of the pastors there said, these people are in a desperate situation. These people need hope now. And don't we realize that, you know, 40 years later, that people need hope right now. People need hope now in Ukraine. We would have never known of any of that back then, but praise God that we're still here and we and other organisations are able to help out there. So humanly speaking, the situation looks bleak, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, pictures on social media were all of a mother and a father standing by the ruins of their house. And they were watching the emergency services digging down to see if they could find their son. And then we saw the aftermath when they found that the son had not survived. It's a terrifying time. And actually, for those of you who pray for Chakasi regularly, we've always thought of it as having a kind of a spiritual dome of protection. But just this last week on Wednesday night, Chakasi itself was hit by 4 cruise missiles. And I know of one family that was left homeless. Ksenia, who I showed earlier on, she's just gone back there to see her mum. And she said, it was awful. You know, I was lying there and I could just hear the whole building shake as these missiles came overhead. And we just didn't know where they were going to land and whether we're going to be safe or not. And people there have to live with that, you know, every night. Just want to tell a story quickly here. One of Yulia, who works with me, she has a friend. She's from a city called Kremenaya. And her friend went out to see her parents in a village just a few miles from Kremenaya. And whilst that happens, the Russian soldiers came in and actually took the village. And that she hid with her son and her mum and dad in the basement of their house. And a Russian soldier found them there. And he kept coming day in and day out and trying to force himself on her. And the mum and dad tried to intervene. And basically he pointed a rifle at them and he said, you know what happens if you try to stop me? And then it came to the point where he said, it's my birthday tomorrow and I'm coming back and I expect my present. What was she to do? And she said, that night I prayed. I prayed, God, please either take my life now or please deliver me. And then absolutely amazingly enough, her husband was able to drive out from Kremenaya and drove all the way through the Russian lines and was able to pick her up and rescue her and bring her back home again. God, they say it's God. It was a miracle because this place was surrounded by soldiers, and yet God was able to rescue. And I believe that God still does that. We know that so much awful things are happening, but God protects and God rescues people. So on the other hand, while war goes on, we find this, that God is at work refining his people and drawing other people to himself. So some words from 2 Corinthians here. We were really crushed and overwhelmed. We feared that we would never live through it. We saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. For when we put everything, for then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us. So God's people, I believe, are leaning more into God, and those who don't yet know him are seeking him as Saviour and finding him. So I just want to share a few observations now. First of all, in Ukraine itself, belief in God is on the rise. So although 70% of people would call themselves Orthodox Christian in Ukraine, for many that just means Easter and Christmas that they will go to church. But recently, a couple of months ago, a Kyiv independent newspaper published an article on the growth of faith in God, and they say that 40% more people in Ukraine now believe in God. So God is at work. God is at work. Secondly, the Orthodox Church itself is reforming and getting rid of some of its superstitious belief. That's not just about the Russian Orthodox Church being pushed to one side and the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, but the Orthodox Church itself is starting to reform. So some of you will see that's supposed to be an egg. I know it's a bit squashed there, but these are Easter eggs. They're called pysanky. Some of you may have seen them. But what has happened within the church is these little eggs have taken on a kind of a superstitious type nature, that people were using them like little charms, as it were. And yet this year, the Orthodox Church published something for the church saying, you know, these are not special. These are not part of the Christian message. And I know Ukrainian Christians who believe that God is at work, really trying to reform the Orthodox Church. They haven't got rid of things like Ivano Kupala, which is their June celebration of the New Year, of the sort of mid-year festival. Yet, unfortunately, that's a whole mixture, Ivana, to do with John the Baptist and his birthday, and the whole sort of to do with the, you know, the elements and pagan type things. It's all a bit of a mixture, but God is gradually working his way through. And then I believe the church here is self is making a difference. So Helena, who I talked about earlier on, she's from Mariupol, and she was a documentary filmmaker, and she made a documentary film here about why do British people support Ukrainian people. And one of the amazing things is that she came out and said that the most important support for them had actually been the church itself. What was so amazing is that actually on the video itself, they had some people from a church that Abby and I know, and they were sharing about how God is the God of the stranger, the foreigner, the bereaved, the orphan. And then the lady went on to actually share a very, very clear gospel message. And this lady, Helena, she's not a Christian herself, but she says these people have spiritual needs as well. She recognizes that. And also, it's so hard, she said, for us as Ukrainians to pray. But actually, I didn't know that before. The lady on her right there, Natalia, I saw her at the 40th, but I met her for the first time last Saturday evening. And she was talking about her mum, who is in a city called Sumy that is under constant fire. It's near the Russian border. So I just said to her, I said, look, you know, can I pray for your mum? What's her name? Her name was Tatiana. And so I was able to just pray for her like that. And one of my prayers is that through all the local groups, that our church itself can make a difference. And I've got a couple more stories, but I'll share those. I should move on because I've gone over time already. And I do believe also that many people have found spiritual abuse. I mentioned earlier on the Russian Orthodox Church. So there's a lady called Vika. And in June 2021, Putin had produced an article about why Ukraine is not a country. And in Southampton, in the Russian Orthodox Church, they were actually sharing this message from the pulpit. So Vika, as a Ukrainian in Southampton, she said, I could not stay there because just so much hate is being spoken for actually from the pulpit of the church. You know, God is a God of all nations, not just of Russia, and Russian Orthodox Church does believe it is the only church. So poor Vika herself, she then went on to what kind of church is it? Oh, it's a Gnostic church, and got really confused. But praise God, she's been through to a few things our Ukrainian church offers. And then also there's Tanya, who is from a Jehovah's Witness background. So she came into our service, and she didn't really quite know what to think. And then she stopped coming, but she's now come to a couple of our Ukrainian children's days, and she's helped out in the kitchen. So I think, so gradually, I hope and I pray that we can build trust to be able to share the good news of Jesus. And it is encouraging our Ukrainian church in Southampton is growing. But just lastly, do pray for the church, especially in occupied territories. All non-Russian Orthodox churches have actually been closed down. So in many ways, it's worse than the Soviet Union, where people had to meet behind closed doors, especially as people are being forced in these areas to praise Putin when he's the one who's murdered so many of their family and taken their country. But while the war continues, there is, I believe, a window of opportunity for the gospel. Isaiah 57 verse 10 puts it like this. You were wearied by all your ways, but you would not say it is hopeless. Instead, you renewed your strength. You know, people often want to be out of the circumstances, but whilst they're in these circumstances, it's when people get to the stage where they say life is hopeless without God that they actually find hope when they call out to him. So I'm going to talk a bit about later about... Or did you want me to carry straight on? I don't know what the order of service is.
Just carry on.
Oh, carry straight on, okay. So I will, I can, I don't know if it's an excuse, I can't see the clock so well from here. I will grab my notes from the other bit. Sorry about that. Right. So actually, if you do have a Bible, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, a very, very familiar passage. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. And in the NIV, the title is, Jesus Forgives and Heals a Paralyzed Man. So one day, when Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easiest to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, "Get up, take up your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Let's just quickly pray as we consider this word. Lord, we confess that this is not only your word, but Lord, we have your word, Lord. Lord, we know that you want to speak to your people, Lord. And Lord, as we look into what you want to say to us this morning, Lord, it might be that it's different ways that we need to be encouraged or perhaps rebuked or strengthened this morning. Lord, please speak to us, Lord, through the words of this true story about what Jesus himself did, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you yourself, Lord Jesus, you reveal the Father to us. Lord, you open that way for people to come to the Heavenly Father and to come to heaven one day. Lord, please may it build us up this morning, we pray, and send us out in worship to you. Amen. So it might seem quite obvious to you, but what is hope? I move our slides on. You know, in Ukrainian, there are actually two words that they use for hope. The first of these words, spodivanya, is the one I hear most often. And it's really about wishful thinking. Oh, if only this was to happen. Oh, if only that was to happen. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? And then there is nadia. And nadia, or nadia, like the name, is the word that is hope that is used in the Ukrainian version of the Bible. And it talks about having a real confidence in God and who God is. And it's this second type of hope that God wants us to have. So for spodivanya, I keep hearing this phrase nowadays, you know, it will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end yet. So a lot of people have a form of hope, but again, there is no real certainty that things will happen. So for example, in Ukraine, so many people hope not just for the end of the war, but they hope that Russia itself will get its just deserts. But we know that those communities, those houses, those lives that have been taken away will probably never come back for most people. We long for that war to end, don't we? And I was talking to Lena, Misha's wife, and she said, you know, the biggest problem after the war, it's not going to be rebuilding houses, but it's the broken lives that are going to take so much longer for us to try to help to rebuild. You know, I was reading a few days ago in Luke's Gospel about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And in the Ukrainian version, it gets to the bit where the disciples downheartedly mumbled, "We had hoped." And that's where the Ukrainian Bible actually does use this word, spodivanya. You know, oh, we'd really, really hoped that this was going to happen. But now their hopes were dashed. And yet, as Jesus talked with them, as he walked along the road with them, he explained to them that the Messiah must suffer, that must die, and would rise again from the dead. And finally, they saw that it was him, that it was the risen Lord Jesus. And it says, their hearts burnt within them as they heard the Lord Jesus speak. You know, that's what real nadir is. That's what real hope is, when we come to see that God is in control, that Jesus was in control, that what God had said would happen actually did happen. And that's the kind of hope that God wants for us. You know, whatever we're going through in life at the moment, you might be going through some hard things. You might have family, friends who are going through hard things. God wants you to have that hope that he is in control. So I've just got four things just to remind us about hope from this passage Hopefully we could easily remember, because they start with the letters H, O, P and E. So first of all, from this passage, H is for we have a holy God, but also we have one who's also a holistic God. So two words we have in our English language, holy and holistic. And they both come from the same root word, which means whole or healthy or unblemished. And Jesus wants to put us wholly right. We know that that's what's going to happen one day when we go to heaven. But God, we need to be reminded, is interested in the whole of us, our heart, our mind, our soul, and quite literally here in the passage, our strength. You know, this paralyzed man came to the Lord Jesus with a physical need. And we don't know whether he'd been born paralyzed, but it obviously affected his whole life. But what he didn't realize is that he had that much bigger need. The need, like for all of us, to be forgiven. That God's interested in our soul as well as our body. And Jesus had the power over sickness, but also over sin, we find out in this passage. He had that power to heal and to forgive. And he cares about everyone. You know, for many people, I don't know if you've had this kind of conversation yourself before, you know, if they think of God, they think of him being too distant, too big to ever be concerned about them. You know, their view of God is far, far too small. And it's only because God is God himself that actually he's big enough to know you better than you know yourself and better than anyone else knows you. I should do a quick tangent here. I wasn't going to do this, but I remember years ago, I remember someone in Chakassi really going through a tough time, and I remember praying, Lord, if only I could go and actually be with them and sit with them and talk with them and listen to them. And God very clearly said to me, look, John, I'm closer than you ever will be. And that's actually a reassurance, actually, when we think about people out in Chakassi. I can't go physically, but I have a God who is there and who cares and can do more than I can do, ever do at all. So God wants all of us, as it were, he wants us holy, and he wants us holy. So the greatest commandment we know is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And because we're made in God's image, we are actually made to be like that. It's only sin itself that spoils that within us. But ultimately, our hope is that if we have the Lord Jesus, we are headed for a day when we will be able to do that perfectly. When none of this sin and distraction and selfishness takes us away from him. And God knows that we need him in every area of life, and he can also, because he cares about us, be trusted to provide for every area in our life. So just a few words from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 and then 33. Don't worry about your life, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be given to you as well. You know, Jesus did far more for this man than he had expected. He just came hoping to be healed and with faith that he may be healed. And Jesus didn't just physically put a spring in this man's step, but made his heart quite literally leap with praise and thanksgiving. From the start of a story, a terrible story, to a marvelous ending. And Jesus can do that, and he wants us holy and holy. So secondly, we have a God who is open with us and to us as well. Now, I've already said just now that God is big enough to know all about us. And this means that everything about us is open to him. Now, that could be quite a scary thought, can't it? But actually, there is comfort in there as well. You know, we are, and the whole reason that we are able to be open and go to God is because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Hebrews put it, he was our great high priest. And when he went into the, when he died on the cross, that temple curtain was ripped in two from the top right to the bottom, from God to us. And the way is open to us to be able to come to God. Isn't that absolutely amazing? You know, from a high priest, an ordinary high priest, who was the only person who was able to go into the Holy of Holies in the temple, to us, mere humans, being able to go in and be with God. So Jesus himself is the great and the last high priest that was necessary. So what about Jesus? First of all, Jesus was first of all open to what God the Father himself wanted. In verses 15 and 16 of Luke chapter 5, we read that, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses." That was their priority, what they wanted. And yet, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He prayed. He wanted to know what his Father wanted. You know, we read it earlier on. We prayed it together, didn't we? The Lord's Prayer. You know, it's something we always do at Ukrainian church. And that starts off by saying, you know, "Hallowed, holy be your name." And then, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." So Jesus was always about doing what his Father wanted to do. And, you know, Jesus, in his openness, was also open to interruptions. You know, Jesus was busy doing things there, but he wasn't too busy that the man being lowered through the roof wasn't open to him. And Jesus used all of that as an opportunity to teach more important truths. What's more important, the healing of this man or the forgiveness of this man and his sins? And Jesus used that as an opportunity to reveal God to this person and also to the crowd itself. You know, I think that one of the things that I often have to remind myself is that my plan for my day is not always God's plan. So we need to pray that God keeps our eyes open to the opportunities around us. So if you're a perfectionist or a planner, just say, "Lord, you're my planner," and leave yourself open to that. You know, the religious leaders themselves, they didn't like at the time the fact that Jesus could see what was going on in their hearts. You know, Jesus reveals it. And yet, thankfully, we know that many of those first believers, so perhaps many of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that were in the crowd, later were the ones who became the first believers. We often write them off, don't we? But maybe they needed to see for themselves the Lord Jesus died and risen again. So much more quickly, we have to move on quickly. P is for partnership. Very familiar passage to most of us is Ecclesiastes 4. So two can accomplish more than twice as much as one, for the results can be much better. If one falls, the other one can pull the other one up. But if a man falls when he's alone, he's in trouble. And one standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, life is so much better when we include God in things as well as each other. And we see in this picture, actually a picture of partnership albeit unwittingly, between the friends of this poor man and Jesus himself. And we know that that pattern of three is important within the Bible itself. You know, as I said earlier on, you know, So when God made man, it was let us make him in our own image. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as I've alluded to earlier on, John 5:19, Jesus said, I'm always doing what my Father is doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does too. And then John 14, verse 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I've said to you. So even the Holy Spirit was involved in reminding those who helped Luke to write this gospel of what Jesus had said and done. So the God who works together is someone who calls us to work together and also to work with him as well. Oh, wasn't it great that this poor man wasn't alone? His friends brought him to Jesus. It was not just the paralyzed man's faith at work here, but his friends' faith too. Let's lift up and bring them along to meet Jesus, our friends too. You know, isn't that so important? You know, the most important way that we can be a friend to anyone we have is to bring them closer to the Lord Jesus. And then finally, again, very briefly, because I've gone over. Finally, E is for encouragement. You know, our word encouragement quite literally means in your heart, en courage. I could choose lots of verses here, but just one for you. John 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome this world. Jesus has overcome this world. If God is for us, who can stand against us? He has overcome everything, the power of sin and the power of death, and nothing can snatch us away from him if we belong to him. From our passage, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Now I do wonder what it felt like for the man who'd not been able to walk to get up and take up his mat and get onto his feet again. I wonder, did he suddenly feel strength return to his legs? Or was it, first of all, that strength came to his heart as he heard the words of the Lord Jesus? You know, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and walk. Or perhaps it was actually both of them. And certainly the result was this, that he was reinvigorated. He got up and he went home. He walked and he praised God. And that's the kind of hope that God wants in our hearts. The kind of hope that can keep praising God even through the most difficult of times. That's the kind of prayer I have for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who go through such a difficult time. Often in our office, often functioning on just a few hours sleep a night after they've gone through the air raids. And yet, as Lida was saying the other week, she was saying, you know, we are seeing people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what fuels us. That's what keeps us going. There is a real hope there. You know, Putin might be taking the land of Ukraine, and yet the kingdom of God is getting bigger and bigger. And that's what the only kingdom that counts for eternity. So let's pray as I finish. Dear Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that you give hope. Lord, you care about the whole of us, Lord. Lord, you care about us wholly and you want us holy. Lord, our lives are open to you. Lord, help us to open up our lives to other people, to keep our eyes open to the needs around us of people, but Lord, also what you want to do. Lord, thank you that you call us partners in the gospel, that you choose us to have a role in the expansion of your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, I just want to thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you are yourself are the God of all encouragement. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that what the Messiah, the Saviour that was promised through the Old Testament, was fulfilled through yourself, the Lord Jesus. Lord, he was shown not just by his miracles, but by power and through teachings to be the Holy One, the one who died and rose again. And Lord, we can take hold of this hope and encourage. Lord, we thank you that we have this hope as a very real anchor for our souls. Lord, that it is firm and secure, and it enters into that sanctuary behind the curtain, through that ripped curtain, Lord, that way through to heaven itself is there. Lord, we thank you that you, Lord Jesus, our forerunner, has entered that place on our behalf. Lord, you've become that high priest forever in that order of Melchizedek. Lord, that Jesus, that you ever lived to make intercession. Lord, you pray for us even now, Lord. And you're praying for us until that day that you welcome us home. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, our hope, Lord Jesus. Amen.